Hello, and welcome to the Life in Japan podcast by Gogo Nihon. My name is Sam, and I will be your host. In this podcast, we will be talking about life in Japan as foreign residents, sharing our experiences about learning Japanese, traveling, working, visas, culture, and everything else we encounter in our day-to-day lives. Today's guest is Mar from Spain, and she is the director of her own animation studio called Maru Exposito, which she has established after coming here to Japan. Mar, thank you so much for joining us today and telling us your story. Could you quickly introduce yourself?
Thank you for having me, Sam. My name is Mar. I've been living in Tokyo for 8 years now.
Wow, 8 years.
Yes.
That's a long time.
I basically became an adult in Japan. And yes, introducing myself, yes, I am the founder of Maru Exposito, which is an animation and comic studio.
Animation and comics. So basically that would be anime and manga?
Yeah. Basically.
Oh, okay. Interesting. So how did you actually become interested in anime and manga in the first place?
Well, I would be that kid that's always too close to the TV and drawing everything since I have any memory. So basically everything that was animation was super attractive. I would draw everything and I tried not to pursue this as a career and I failed.
Okay, so basically from a young age, you started liking like anime and cartoons and stuff like that.
Yes.
So when actually did you make that connection between, you know, this kind of animation is Japanese and that's what I like versus maybe this kind is American and that's not what I want to pursue? Was there like a moment where you realized this?
Once I started to discover that there's a thing called the world and different countries and so on, started seeing differences, yes, I distinguish especially like the Disney style, like the American style, mm-hmm. which I also liked a lot. But I also felt very interested to the culture of what I saw in the Japanese ones.
Ah.
And that's how I actually chose, like, okay, if I have to draw animation, they both have animation, but this place looks very interesting. So that's how I chose.
And do you remember what show it is that you watched that gave you the impression of, oh, this is a different country, this is Japan?
I guess one of my favorites as a child and that gave me the most country impressions would be Cardcaptor Sakura.
Sakura?
And maybe Ranma. Ah. Like Ranma Half.
I think they ran those in Germany as well, if I remember right. I guess
such classics.
Right across Europe, those were probably pretty popular.
Yeah.
So, and then you kind of started drawing. Do you remember the age where you started seeing the animations and then deciding to drawing them yourself?
I don't think I can distinguish like the doodles I would do as a child, like before you can write, you draw,
mm-hmm.
and I never stopped.
Oh, wow.
It's that long. I wasn't good then.
Of course, I mean, we all start somewhere, right?
Yeah.
So in the beginning, you probably liked maybe Ranma or Sakura, and then you started drawing the characters or something like that?
Yeah, something like that. I would just like draw them, imagine different outfits, making the characters I love kiss each other.
Oh!
All these fangirl things. I would cosplay them. I was full into it.
Oh, wow. Are you still full into it?
I stopped cosplaying actually when I came to Japan.
Mm-hmm.
Me and my mom actually tried to make a cosplay shop back in Spain. So
you
I was her
mom?
Model. Yeah.
Wow.
My entrepreneurship comes from actually quite early.
So your mother is also interested in animation and anime and manga?
She's just very good in like creative design, if that makes sense. So instead of just doing like normal clothes, she liked the challenge.
I see.
And then introduced her like, actually I want this super dress I saw in a comic. Let's do this.
How cute that she encouraged you in that way and tried to like adjust what she likes to what you like as well.
Yes, she's the best.
You said earlier that you failed to not become an animator for a living. So at what age or at what point in your life did you decide, you know what, I'm going to do it. I'm going to move to Japan and study animation.
Okay, so I tried to fail many times. I would hear that people that draw cannot eat because they don't make money.
Mm-hmm.
So I was thinking, okay, so instead of making animation and drawing, I will be a translator. I'll translate Japanese and be the first one who can read the mangas. Then from a translator, I first saw advertisement as a career and mm-hmm. sounds, that sounds somewhat creative. People who make ads must make money. So I went there. And from there, I saw that they have a communication, a visual thing. It's like, maybe people who makes movies also make money. So it went like shifting around there. So it's what I studied in university, how to make film. Ah. And there, well, from film to animated film, it wasn't a big jump.
Right. So you actually went to university first in Spain?
Exactly.
And that's when you studied film?
Yeah. So as I mentioned, it was an audiovisual communication degree that was sold as we would do television, radio, animation, and film. And it was 80% film, which was actually like really, really useful to what I've been doing later on anyway.
Right. Okay, so then that's actually what you did in Spain. And you did graduate, right?
Yes.
You did the full degree in Spain?
Yes, 4 years.
4 years. So you were probably around 23 or 22-ish when you graduated?
Yes.
And then you, I mean, technically you would have gone into the job market, tried to find something in Spain, but obviously you didn't.
No, exactly.
What happened?
So other than not having many jobs in animation and openings in Spain, I was, as I mentioned, interested in the culture.
Mm-hmm.
So in the second, or the second year in university, I had my first opportunity to come to Japan as a tourist.
Oh.
Just to test, like, is this place actually real? Can I hear, like, crowds in the streets and see people in uniforms anyway?
Yeah.
I made my taste there, and that's when I decided when I graduate, I wanted to go to Japan.
Oh.
So when I was 22, that I graduated, I waited 1 year in Spain without working, and I was studying Japanese on like a school there. I was doing also studying English to improve my language, international language capacity,
makes sense.
As well as drawing. So basically what I was doing is like a prep school, three courses at the same time thing. So when I came to Japan, I would have more chances to actually become an animator here. So I would speak more languages and be better at my art.
Good prep. Good job. Yeah, I guess it makes sense to go that route and do the courses that you know you're going to need and the skills that you know you're going to need before you actually come here. So make the transition a little bit easier.
That was the intention.
Tell me more about the other preparations. Obviously, people don't just pack up their stuff and move to Japan. There's a lot that you need to prepare, such as money and visas and stuff like that. So how did you go about that?
Well, I had a lot of luck in the sense that a lot of people around me knew then that I wanted to come to Japan. And the niece of the mechanic of my mom's car was using Gogo Nihon.
Ah.
And somehow that was a referral to me, and that's who helped me do all the transition.
Wow.
So it's like, okay, that's what you need to make the visa. Let's start with a student. Like, because first I knew I need Japanese first. I couldn't just jump to Japan. I have an animation job. That was not an option, I thought. So you guys here helped me.
So, because you went to prep school and because you were interested in Japan and Japanese for such a long time, you actually already knew some Japanese before you came here, right?
Yes, but once I came to Japan to study, like, full-time study, if that makes sense, they only advanced me to 6 months.
Ah.
So even if I studied in Spain for 3 years on my own with friends, with actual, like, a school in Japan that's, like, twice a week classes, something like that, in the end it was just, like, 6 months if you actually properly study in the country.
Right.
So it wasn't that much.
So that's around, I guess, if you were to pass N4 level?
It was actually N4. I just passed N4 in Spain and then came here.
Ah, I see. Okay, so that allowed you to skip the first 6 months of language school.
Exactly.
So you basically decided that you wanted to go to language school first and then study animation, or did you just want to learn Japanese and then try to find a job in animation?
I never stopped drawing. Mm-hmm. So all the time I was in the Japanese language school, I was already like trying to actually start my own webcomic.
Ah.
So I never stopped trying. And then, yes, I decided, let's study Japanese here.
Mm-hmm.
And then maybe I can find a job in the animation industry. But I didn't know animation enough. So that's how I actually don't know where the idea came from. If it was from the Japanese language school itself that suggested, okay, we have vocational schools actually that could help you prepare for this missing step until you get the job.
That's
it was from them.
Which Japanese language school did you go to?
I went to ISI Takada Nobaba
here
in Tokyo.
Oh,
cool.
And they suggested to you, I mean, they probably have an array of different Senmongakko, which is vocational schools that they partner with. And did they give you any suggestions?
I don't remember they had a partnership with actually an animation school, so I looked around online on my own, but they definitely helped me see, like, okay, so what's the procedure they ask for? These are the interview questions you may find. Mm-hmm. And then, like, practice that, like, help me with all those. Yeah, basically help me enter.
That's
in all
great.
The steps. That was really helpful. I was so nervous.
I bet. Yeah, that must have been a big step. How long did you actually attend language school in Japan?
I attended for 1 year and 9 months.
Oh,
but
wow.
I must say that actually with only 1 year, I already had the N2 level.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, yeah. From the 6 month, I already skipped, plus that 1 year, I already had the level to apply the vocational school. However, because that was like you did the test on July for GLPT, mm-hmm. and then you start the application for the school that would start on next April, I mm-hmm. had to stay in Japan. I needed to keep my visa.
Of course, yeah.
So I keep studying Japanese there, which was good because the more Japanese you know, the more you will take advantage of actually...
Yeah.
The vocational mm-hmm. school.
So by the time you finished language school, what would you say your level roughly was?
I would say still N2, mm-hmm. but more real. Because when I got the results of the exam, it was like roughly like maybe 1 or 2 more points to the baseline.
Mm-hmm.
And then with all those extra months, I was actually more confident and more fluent.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
I mean, the step from N2 to N1 is huge.
It's humongous.
So, and then the big step, you went to vocational school.
Mm-hmm.
How was that? Explain how you felt. How was the first week? It must have been...
Terribly scary.
Scary, right?
Very scary because I was like, I didn't know what to expect.
Mm-hmm.
Lucky for me, it was very, very practical.
Mm.
So it's obviously that all the instructions were in Japanese. None of the teachers, none of my classmates spoke English.
Ooh.
However, I was very lucky that everyone had lots of patience with me.
That's so nice.
If they gave me a paper with information of the like the homework, I could go and ask like, so what are we actually doing today? So the first weeks were a lot of information, very, very overwhelming. But then after that, it was lots of practice. So I could pass the classes after someone verbally told me what to do.
Mm-hmm.
It was easy-ish for me to just like follow up.
Yeah, you already were good at drawing at that point, so
it was not at the zero level, let's say that. Many people who went to that school, especially the Japanese ones, were people who just graduated from high school, for example.
So they were a couple years younger.
They were younger and they just discovered, okay, I don't know what to do with my life, maybe I'll try animation. So that's why for me, who already had a bit of practice on drawing, plus because I have the language disability, but I have the drawing ability
mm-hmm.
already started, that's how I could like bridge that gap and actually survive.
Right, that was a good way of leveling out. So were you the only foreigner in your class?
We were around 20 in the animation department,
mm-hmm.
and half of them were Japanese.
Mm-hmm.
As I said, most of them just like high school graduates. They
mm-hmm.
were like 19, 20 years old. The other half were all other foreigners from other Asian countries, mostly Chinese speaking.
Mm-hmm. And everybody was really nice to you?
Yes, they were. As I said, they had a lot of patience with me, explaining me everything. I actually found that some other people saw me engaging with them and they told me, like, people really treat you as one of them. They're not treating you as making things easy for you or anything. They treat you as an equal, which made
nice.
Me very happy.
Yeah.
But then with the plus of if I ask again for something, they don't assume that I wasn't listening. They actually don't know. They think that, oh, she didn't get that one. Let's explain in different simple words.
Oh, that's nice.
It was very nice.
What were the classes like? What kind of classes did you have and which were the most fun or anything that kind of stayed with you?
Okay, so most classes, as I mentioned, were like about practice and everything was based on how to teach you to get into an entry job level in the industry.
Mm.
And the entry jobs would be inside the animation department, so drawing and animating, in the production department, so assistant in production,
mm-hmm.
and into the editing part, like editing the video itself, and then like painting the backgrounds of the animation. So basically right from the beginning, which was very interesting because people just enter to class, they ask you, okay, so which one of these four routes are you directed into? And there were classes about everything, but the teachers would pay more attention, like push you farther if they knew, oh, you go to the animation route, oh, you go to the background route. So it was a lot of practice in everything, and I must say 50% of, if not more, were about into animation route.
That makes sense, I guess.
Like the drawing part.
So the things that you learned were basically, was it character design or?
Yes. So the classes were, there were lots of different classes where you would touch like these like level up things like character design itself, directing, storyboarding and so on. Mm-hmm. But most of it was based on, okay, we have a subject, it's animation. We start with a ball getting bigger, a ball jumping, a human walking. So basically they give you task after task. The faster you are, the more tasks you would be able to do and the faster you would level up in that same subject. So it's not that all the class is doing the same thing every day.
I see.
So, and the teacher is telling you, today we do this, mm-hmm. but it's like one after the other. So it's fastest, most interested, are you keeping up at home? You learn more.
Interesting. Okay, that's good that they kind of adjust to the different students' levels.
Yes.
And then basically you start off with animating a ball that is bouncing, and then in the end you will animate a person.
Well, I think the worst one would be like a baseball player like pitching a ball.
Oh, wow. Okay.
That wasn't fun.
I guess, especially if you yourself don't really have any knowledge of baseball.
Or interest.
And then you have to really look how the anatomy works and stuff
like
that.
Yeah, exactly. Like also moving like your clothes and hats and everything around the perspectives.
True, there's so much to consider.
I ended up doing dragons, so I guess I can't complain.
There's no real life subject matter there that you can study, I guess.
You cannot find my mistakes.
True. How long did it take you to complete the animation program at the vocational school that you visited?
It was a 2-year program. Mm. So most of it was based on like subjects and classes where they teach you like basically the foundations of mm-hmm. animation and everything. I must say that the second year was really focused on your thesis, though.
Ah, the thesis. So what was that then? Was that like the final project before you graduate?
Basically, everyone was asked to pitch like an idea of a short animated film. Mm-hmm. And then people would gather in groups in the ones that seemed the more interesting. So mine was one of the ideas that got votes itself. So I was a director in a group of 5 mm-hmm. and we made like a fantasy with a dragon animation.
Dragon again.
Yeah. So it was like a 2.5 minute fantasy animation. So I had to gather from people around our class who does the backgrounds, who will help animate and all that.
Oh, okay. Interesting. As the director, you pitched the idea mm-hmm. and the project basically,
yes.
and then you find people to basically turn it into reality with you or
something like that.
Okay.
So everyone had to present one idea, like the 20 of us, and then everyone had to vote for 3 projects they liked, and mine was one of the selected ones. And it's, I'm actually quite lucky with that because my intention was already direct, not actually just become an animator by then. So I had a great chance to practice that.
Yeah, that's great. Okay. And that was basically your graduation thesis then.
Exactly.
So you get the grade based on the project and how everybody participates within the project and stuff gets graded.
Exactly. So basically we would have, during the second year, we'd have some classes still about learning, mm-hmm. like leveling up what we learned the year one, and then many classes that were dedicated on creating that project. And of mm-hmm. course the teachers would, we would have like some animation teachers reviewing that, some background teachers are reviewing around you. It was really a good experience because all the teachers worked in the industry, so it was like
right.
having the veterans with you telling mm-hmm. you how not to do things.
Yeah,
very valuable.
That's very great. And then, I mean, you obviously managed to graduate. Your project went well.
Yes.
And
well
did
enough.
All of your classmates who were in the project with you, they all graduated as well?
Yes, everyone graduated. And I must say, in this type of vocational schools, everyone is supposed to get a job at the end. Like, that's one of the pride of the school is that they have, I think, like a 95%, 99% chances that if you go to this school, you will find a job.
That is very high.
Yes. Because as I mentioned, this school is used to train you so you get an entry-level job somewhere.
Mm, true.
Doesn't even have to be in your own industry. They also get the points if you go somewhere else. But the idea is that you will not get to become a great animator by then. You will just be good enough that some company will see potential in you to keep training you and
right.
work with them.
That makes sense, actually. Because
yes, so
in 2 years, I suppose, you can't really
become
a master animator or...
I wish.
Okay, so then what did you do after you graduated? How did the school help you?
Okay, so that's a tricky thing. They could have helped me enter to animation studio, and I will not be humble right now. I actually graduated with honors and things like that, so I would have hoped to enter to a good one. But by then, I fell in love with my own projects I was doing on the side, and I decided that if I had to do something creative, I did want to do it within my own rules, my own values. I don't want to work in animation that promotes gambling, racism, homophobia, things like that.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
And when you were with another one studio, you cannot control that very easily.
That's true.
So I was like, how about I do something completely different that's not even animation? And then I made my own studio. So, you know, the easy route.
The easy route.
So I haven't mentioned that, but since I was studying Japanese in the language school, I actually was working part-time with Gogo Nihon during various projects. And when I went into vocational school, I was doing like marketing as well. I learned to manage people. So I was already getting work experience.
Yeah. And since you would be, I mean, in your animation studio, you're also director and project leader. So that's...
It was perfect.
Pretty
it
much
was
good experience, even though it has nothing to do with animation.
No. So what I decided is I asked like if I could be valued to work full time in Gogo Nihon, while then in my own free time at home, I would start my animation studio, continue my comic at the moment. So that's what I did. It's like, okay, let's hold on to that knowledge, keep on my own, and then I'll play the game with my own rules in the... Again, quote unquote, easy route.
Yeah, I mean, you've been with us for quite a while, of course, and we know how hard you've been working in your free time. And also that, of course, you switched to part-time employment.
Yes, so after 2 years, so basically I graduated animation school and I entered full-time at Gogo Nihon while I had, well, free time enough to do a bit of things, but it wasn't enough to actually grow like a good client. List.
Yeah.
I couldn't grow a team and work with it like enough. So after 2 years of working full-time in Gogo Nihon, I asked like, can I go part-time again? So I spent some days of the week I would work for Gogo Nihon, and the rest of the time I say, because it would be days and weekends. So if you've ever been an entrepreneur, you can expect that there's no end time to your job. That's when I was actually building the studio.
So when you started your animation studio, did you have to register it in Japan somewhere?
Yes, I became a Kojinjigyo, which is what you would consider a solo proprietorship, basically a freelancer.
Yes.
It's a bit different in the sense that it's like you are your own company.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like a registered company, but I cannot hire employees under me.
Right.
I can outsource, though. That's how it's a studio. Basically, I gather other freelancers that invoice me for their hours, and basically all together like build whatever we're asked to do, like in animation sense.
Oh, like that. Okay. So were you able to find people to join the studio?
The idea is that I find the clients, people who want things created in the Japanese animation style.
Uh-huh.
And then depending on what they want, I will see, okay, you know, these people that could be good for this project. So it's not like a studio that's always the same people. There are many people that are like the favorites and they repeat often. But basically is that each project gathers the most like talented or creative and passionate about that thing, and then we do it together for the client.
That makes sense, because then at least everybody's having fun and
yes.
not just animating things against their will.
That would be not nice.
Yeah.
Yes.
How did you find these other freelancers? How did you build that community or that portfolio of people?
Good question. I'm not really sure. So, as we mentioned, I used to work. Well, I was working at Gogo Nihon. I learned a lot about marketing, which means I was always on Instagram. I was doing also on YouTube, having videos about my vlog on how I created the thesis animation. I was also doing live stream interviews. So I always had a presence online. And I rarely have to knock on someone's door and say, hi, hey, do you want to work with me? Usually I have a form and people want to work in these studios. Like, oh, you're in Japan making animation. Cool. I want to work with you. I'm like, okay, let's see the portfolio.
I see. So actually, a lot of the people you work with are not based in Japan.
No, actually, most of them, 9 out of 10, they're outside of Japan.
So basically
yeah,
all
super
foreigner-based international.
Yes.
Oh, Oh, fun.
But
okay.
Still Japanese style and registered in Japan, so we are a Japanese studio.
Yes. How interesting. And then how about the clients? Where are they from?
We've had people from Mexico, US, from Dubai as well. Very varied, actually.
Wow, interesting. So I'm guessing they want all sorts of different animations.
Exactly. They all want the Japanese animation style, basically.
Right.
But because my studio doesn't require you to speak Japanese, but has like the same Japanese procedure. Like, actually, I don't know much about the Western animation ways.
Mm-hmm.
I learn in Japan.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what they want.
And yeah.
That's what I can deliver in English.
Right.
Or even Spanish.
Right. Do you actually also deliver in Japanese?
In a few cases, I was asked that, for example, like the logo and that, like I was asked a music video, for example. So they had, okay, from this song, we want this story. Can you animate it? And the logo that appears at the beginning, for example, they wanted it in Japanese.
Mm.
So I had to like write that in Japanese
mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
things like that. But most of the time, it's not necessary.
I see. I guess that makes sense since the actual animations are used in the countries where the clients are from.
Yes.
Can you give me an example of one of the projects you worked on for somebody? Maybe something that was like super fun, something you're super proud of?
I would say there's a project from last year that was a love song. And I'm very cheesy. So basically what I want to do in my studio is like heartwarming stories. And usually I get a lot of requests for very dramatic things. So this time we were asked to like animate a ballad.
Mm-hmm.
And they were, as long as your story more or less matches the lyrics, anything's fine. And I'm a very big fan of like period drama, romance pieces thing, Downton Abbey. So I really like take advantage of that. And I put designs together, put the story together. I created a whole family. And also together with the creativity of the team, like we made like a life story of like a couple since from the point they meet to the point that they pass. Well, their whole life,
their
like,
whole
you
life
know,
together.
Period drama.
Oh, cute.
I love that one.
Aww. Where can we actually see it? Where is your portfolio?
Most of these projects are online in the client's
mm-hmm.
YouTube channel, for example, things like that. Like the ones that are public.
Mm-hmm.
Something about my job is that a lot is maybe still on production and not
released.
Right,
that makes sense.
But most of it you can see it in the studio website, which is maruexposito.com.
Obviously, from your portfolio, your clients know what to expect and what style you usually animate and what kind of storyline and stuff like that. Has anybody ever come to you with something you're not really comfortable with?
That happens quite often.
Mm.
Like, the most difficult thing is actually to say no, because
mm-hmm.
you want more clients, you want more revenue and things like that. But when you think that you have to spend hours and hours and hours drawing that same thing, let's say something, I will have to say I don't like zombies, spaceships.
Mm-hmm.
There are some things that I'm not fond of, and it's not against my values, like,
mm-hmm.
sure, I will not enjoy that. And it's a pity, because for the client, it's also good to say, like, wait, I will not put my, like, this is not my passion, you
of
will
course.
Not get the best, like, I will be professional, but you will not get the best.
Mm-hmm.
So I have to really say no to quite a big amount of people.
I see. Yeah, that must be.
I wish them the best and say, well, at most I can recommend them to someone else.
Okay. That's nice to also help out other fellow creators.
Yeah.
So obviously most of your work is client-based. People come to you and they have something in mind. They want you to make a project for them. But do you also take your studio in like a more personal direction? Is there like a project that you're working on just for yourself, just for your studio, or?
Actually, the studio itself started with the comic. It's something that I started creating back in the Japanese language school.
Mm.
So that got into hold now, and I would love to someday do it like the original movie based on that story. Basically, we want to create stories that have like a very heartwarming message that will help people. Like something that's in our values is that all the stories, even the client-based ones, they have like a core message.
Mm-hmm.
And it would be ideal to create stories that are like based on our own ideas. I don't even say mine, but something that grows from us.
Mm-hmm.
So that would be our direction, like create something that's cute or not exactly all sweet, but like very deep.
Yeah,
it can make a change.
Mm-hmm.
That would be wonderful.
Aww, that's a nice project to work towards. Apart from this personal project that you want to work on with your studio, is there anything else that you envision for the future?
Something that I was actually considering is that to take advantage, since I'm in Japan, to actually let the Japanese animation industry bring their own creativity to it, so have more Japanese-speaking animators join the team. I still don't know how we'll manage the language base in that aspect. Right now, everyone speaks English in the studio, but it would be very nice to actually learn to grow here.
That makes sense.
All that.
Yeah, might as well.
It may be an adventure, a different one, but I want to be open to everyone. One idea I'm having is that because soon we will meet with my old classmates and my teachers and so on, we're having this Sobetsukai or Tsutsugyokai, which would be like the graduates reunion. I was thinking to meet with them and ask them if they would be interested to join the team or if they know someone who's interested, because maybe they are like, we would get along, but maybe they'd rather zombies, and that's not our studio vision right now.
Right, that makes sense.
But it would be very nice, like, to contact with them after all the pandemic that we haven't been able to meet or anything.
Yeah.
So I really look forward to have this reunion and see how that idea can grow and know how they're doing and everything.
Yeah, I wonder if all of them went into animation, or some people gave up on it, or some people went into freelance like you did. That would be interesting, right?
Yeah, I look forward to it. It would be nice.
Good luck. Have fun there. That's going to be
Thank
nice
you very
to see
much.
Them again. Thank you very much, Mar, for giving us these interesting insights into the animation industry today, and thanks to our listeners for joining. If you have any questions or feedback regarding what we talked about today, please send an email to podcast@gogonihon.com, or if you're interested in learning Japanese in Japan, visit our website gogonihon.com. We hope you tune in again for our next episode. Mata ne!